Oh, this podcast is not the Black Death, but it feels like the rest of the world's experiencing the Black Death. Clint and I are cultured fellows, so we're familiar with Something Rotten.
Yes.
The musical.
One of my favorite musicals. It's a really good one.
It's going to be pretty much impossible for something to beat Hamilton in my mind, but this is a solid one as well. Billy Wessel's Clint Foster back, and we're going to talk a lot about uniforms today.
Lots.
So get ready.
Buckle it. Hold on to your butts.
We've had there's not much else to talk about in the world of sports, but there's plenty of uniforms to talk about. We're now three regions into our best uniform bracket. We appreciate the several hundred that have voted on it so far.
Yes, yes. So as we speak, in the third region of the first round, this continues apace.
Yeah, so we've gotten, I think, probably at least 300 300 votes per matchup, a couple 400. I think a lot of people voted for the Rose Bowl one because it's the one that everyone sees right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a tough one to eventually beat for anybody. But we'll see how this goes. So
yeah, I feel like Rose Bowl is a safe lock for the Final Four.
Yeah,
I feel very strongly about that. Flying T, one of the two Flying Tees, feels like a lock for the Final Four. What's going to happen with these modern uniforms? I'm not 100% sure, because we got a lot of strong devotees of like the Peach Bowl look, mm-hmm. of the various blackout looks. I have been a little bit surprised. I mean, I feel like my seating was pretty impeccable in the first two regions, because the favorites almost always won.
Yeah, this modern one, I think you might get a little bit of hate for it.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of these, I was putting them in there, I was like, oh, I kind of like that one better. Oh, I kind of like that one better.
Well, and there was a method to my madness.
I'm sure there was.
Because
you try to make the similar ones, right?
Well, yeah, I did match up a lot of similar ones in the first round of these modern regions. So in that way, the seeding did play into it a little bit, like with the 5-12 matchup, I believe it was, with the uh-oh Oreo, you called them.
Yeah.
I put the 5 as the 2019 because I was like, I feel like this one's vastly superior, so I like having them matched up in the first round. You separate out which one is better, and you have a similar matchup. But yeah, upon a second look, I was like, ooh, I hate the 8-9 matchup in this region, now that I'm looking at it again, because I'm like, I love both of those very much. That's the, from this past year, the All Blacks that we wore against West Virginia, and the white, purple, white that we wore in the first game of the season. So that's a very tough decision. And then there were some of them, like, I know, last I looked, the voting in the matchup between, let's see, it was the 3-14 matchup,
mm-hmm.
Or no, excuse me, that's not correct, 4-13, where it was the chrome, the purple,
Dotson era is kind of winning that one.
Yes, which was surprising to me, because that matte purple, black purple, well, first of all, I feel like purple, black purple is one of our very best combinations color-wise, regardless of era, but it's been surprising to me that one, that specific look that's on Tank there, is losing to the one that Dotson's wearing.
Here's another thing about this, though. Do you feel like the iconic nature of that picture of Josh Dotson plays a role? Because I think
I've wondered that. I've wondered if that is swaying the voting.
I think
people,
it does in a lot of these. I think subconsciously people are going to be like even some of these, I should have called it the Peach Bowl uniform. I know it wasn't, but like, it wasn't, because the only thing that made it Peach Bowl was the tag on it. Mm-hmm. I've worn that before.
Yeah.
But like it's, I think that moment, it's going to make it win this round. I think it's going to be the one that comes out of this region.
Well, and another one that I know that
the one seed you had. Oh, you had the blackout versus Ohio State last year.
Yes, which we've also worn against, I think, Tech. Worn it several times. But another one that I have not been totally surprised about, but interested in, is we have the Max Wazin game versus the Cheez-It Bowl game.
Yeah.
And I do objectively believe that the Max Wazin uniform is better. But the reason I had seeded it that way is because the Cheez-It Bowl is so beloved as a moment, and
but I think, you know, I think the moment as Max was in is also a pretty profound moment.
It's a profound moment, but it's a painful moment as well.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's why I had no qualms calling it Max was in, like on the.
Well, and when you look at the picture, you're like, damn it, he's in, he's freaking in.
Is he?
He looks in that picture.
Yeah, no, objectively. They gave you the ball. They called it a touchdown. They shouldn't have been.
Well, yeah, they claimed he was in there. They claimed he was out at another place where he was absolutely not out.
He was either out of the six or in the whole time. Yeah. He was out at the three.
Yeah.
But again, they gave him the ball at the three, and they couldn't punch it in four plays.
Yeah.
So that's another that's an offensive issue.
Futility, the name is 2019.
I am surprised that in the 7-10 matchup going on now, the purple on purple on black is beating the Alamo Bowl.
Yes.
Again, because of the moment. I feel like well, it's a better jersey.
And that's another one that I objectively, that uniform is not one of my favorites, the Alamo Bowl uniform. The moment was incredible.
I don't like the collar.
Well, and just...
And the helmet doesn't quite match the jersey.
Well, and the camo look in general is much maligned. Yeah. Yes. As well it should be. I mean, because it doesn't look like frog skin. It looks like camo. It looks tacky. But the reason, you know, that's why it was a 7 seed for me, is because I'm like, objectively, I don't like this uniform very much. But I was like, I feel like it needs to be the higher seed in its matchup because of the moment again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that it's most closely associated with. But I, because you know I'm obviously voting in these, I voted for the 10. I was like, I like that uniform we wore against SMU more.
It's weird that you made the rankings, you're voting for the upsets.
Sure.
Some of these.
Well, and I mean there's some that like I ranked when in the special uniform region, the Seeing Blood uniform that we wore against Texas.
Yeah.
I've gone on record as saying that is my least favorite uniform of all time. I despise that uniform. But I put it as a 4 seed because I know so many people love it. You know, so I was trying to, when I made the seedings for these, I was trying to take into consideration both my personal feelings, what I feel like the pulse of the TCU fandom is, and also play in a little bit like, okay, well, what is this uniform associated with? So with that one, it's like, okay, a lot of people love it. I hated it, but we also beat Texas in it. So it's going to be a high seed, you know.
I think the Rose Bowl, who's the 2 seed in that region? Because I think it's going to be a lot of 1s and 2s.
It was the Bloodlines of 2009.
Game Day game.
Which we also, we wore it in the Fiesta Bowl, and I neglected, I wasn't thinking about that initially when I made, I still would have put it in this region, yeah. But it wasn't technically a worn once, right. In quotations.
I think it's fair to go in the special region.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I think between the blackout game and the Rose Bowl game, the game day game might win.
Oh, between Rose Bowl and game day?
Solely because more people like me, I was at the game day game. I was not at the Rose Bowl.
You weren't at the Rose Bowl?
No, you're not going to go to California. I had just graduated. I couldn't afford that.
Dude, I would have friggin' hitchhiked if I was you. I was lucky. I was lucky.
You were working. Yes.
Yeah, that
you
I was working.
You got to go for free.
Yes.
I couldn't go there. I know Melissa went because Melissa's from California originally. Uh-huh. So that is right. No, I didn't go to the Rose Bowl.
That's a bummer, man.
It's a bummer, but I was poor. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. Because that was
being poor is a bummer. I can attest to that.
Yeah, it was January 1st, 2010, right?
Oh well, January 1st, 2011.
2011.
2010 okay. Season.
So I've been out of the. You know, I've been out for a year. I could have maybe. Got some shekels together.
Bro, I, like, honestly, if I was in your position, I would have found someone who was going, be like, can I sleep on your floor of your hotel room? You know, like, can I ride in your
like
car?
50-20, right? Like, hindsight, like, I know that's not how the things work. It should be a lower number. But I'm saying it should be better. All right, throwbacks. The throwback unis. I am surprised the purple Cowboys didn't get a whole lot of love.
Yes, I was very surprised by that. And I think I even said on Twitter, you know, this is one where it's not that the purple pants are an objectively bad look, but for me, there's so much trauma associated with that look. Yeah. You know, we lose.
That's the loss to SMU.
The loss to SMU in 05, when Sonny Cumbie hung 70 on us in 04 when we played Tech. We lost to Southern Miss in those uniforms, ruined our perfect season. Plenty of tough moments that I just very closely associate with that uniform. Not that it's, you know, like I said, an objectively bad uniform. And, you know, meanwhile, I don't have any personal memories of us playing in those, what I call the purple Cowboys, because they literally look like Dallas Cowboy uniforms.
They're identical to the Cowboys uniforms with TCU on the side.
But we won a share of the Southwest Conference in 94 wearing those threads. Like, that plays into it a little bit for me.
The home flying tees got 76%, which... Considering how much we hear about the flying tees all over Twitter and Facebook and everywhere, I figured it would have been 100%. I think you made that comment.
Yeah. I mean, and it was much closer in the away uniform because I guess people were more kind of drawn to that late 90s silver helmet than I expected. See, they would be.
I think the purple flying tee is a better look.
Yeah.
I think that's going to end up winning out of that region.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a beloved one.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong either way with the flying tee. You really can't.
You didn't win a lot of games in them.
Well,
and people that want to bring it back again, I've brought this up to GP before over several times the last 7 years or so, and it's not happening. It's not going
to
happen.
Even if we had the rights to it,
it's not going
to
happen.
Well, I'm saying even if the trademark wasn't an issue.
No, it's because they lost so much.
But they're beloved.
He doesn't want to bring it back. He said this repeatedly over the years.
I mean, I don't know.
He doesn't want to be associated with losing, and I get that.
I get it. But, like, there's so many Frog fans, like my family, that have been Bleeding Purple for decades and decades and decades. And it's like, even though, you know, the brightest moment from that decade was losing in the Bluebonnet Bowl, which says a lot, there's still, you know, fond memories. You know, memory sweet, comrades true, you know? Like, that is...
But you know who uniforms today are designed for?
Yeah, for the kids.
Not us.
Yeah,
not
that's true. In their 30s. That's true.
It's for the dang Gen Zers.
I will tell you, too, those Lavender Hill Mob uniforms.
Dude, I'm pulling up right now because I had never seen that before you sent it to me. I dig it.
Dude,
I voted for it. I dig it.
They're so lovably atrocious. And I said on Twitter, I was like, never before has a uniform more accurately represented the product on the field.
Like, it looks like what the Detroit Lions wear on Thanksgiving.
Just so bad.
What that uniform looks like. But I dig it. Even the weird stair step
TCU,
but like cursive TCU.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it. I dig it a little bit.
If there's okay, let me ask you this one.
Yeah, ask me
if there about. Is one uniform from the throwback region, and let's say, you know, pre 2000. Throwback uniform, so like it's a legit throwback, yeah, that you'd love to see us revive for one game. No, which is it?
I like the one, the purple flying tee. Like I like it. The one that's a two seed in this region.
So we've already established that's never happening. So
pick a different one.
Yeah, pick a different one. What's your number two?
Let's see. Okay, so pre-2000. So there's one of Curtis Clay scoring at Clemson that doesn't count.
Yeah.
The one with Jason Phillips and it doesn't count. That's another great 42, by the way.
Jason Phillips was 39.
He was 39? Who's this in this picture?
Oh, that's Matt Panfil.
Oh, Panfil.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out Panfil.
Blast from the Bat. That was just a great picture that I stumbled upon on Google. I was like, ooh, that really shows off the uniform well.
Which of these would I bring back from pre-2000?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't hate the Purple Cowboys look. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's just a... Because we have a Twitter question later about our favorite uniforms in all of pro sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cowboys is a fine look. Again, not a Cowboys fan, I think it's an okay look.
It's a great look. I mean, it has always bugged me that we wear like 37 different shades of blue. Yeah. But it is a very classic, clean look. I'll tell you which one I would pick that I would love to see, other than Flying Tee, of course.
Yeah.
And that's that uniform from 1966, the frog helmet, that looks like an angry bird that's fuzzy. I would love to see that.
You know what? Yeah, that does look like an angry bird. I could see them bringing that back. Like, I don't know why, but that, there's no reason that's not on a shirt somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it's on a couple of shirts somewhere, but it's got to be somewhere.
Yeah, and it's just so, it's one of those, you know, kind of like the Sailor Bear. It's one of those classic mascots that's like just so silly looking, you know?
I like the Sailor Bear for Baylor. Like, give them a little bit of credit. Like, I like the Sailor Bear uniform.
That's what I'm saying. It reminds me of that. Just a very retro, poorly drawn, mascot. Like, why does the frog have teeth and furry, you know, cheeks?
It very much looks like that. What else? Do we want to go through the modern ones? But I'm just going through my Twitter because there's been a lot of interesting stuff that's been coming out, someone from NBA did a thing on Kenny Hustle. It's very much, it's a straightforward Q&A, like 10 questions. I'm sure he emailed a couple hundred players these exact same 10 questions and just for content. But the one on Kenny Hustle came out the other day. So, you know me, all things Kenny Hustle, I am here for.
Yes.
I don't know his favorite player growing up was Paul Pierce. That's why he wears 34.
Oh, I didn't know that either. I
didn't know that until I read the article.
Speaking of wearing 34, that is, we can tease a little bit later in the show.
Yeah,
a new project that we're starting.
We can go into it now. We've talked about the uniform bracket.
Well, we haven't finished talking about the uniform bracket. Okay. You were going to talk about the modern ones, you know?
Okay, yeah. So another thing we're going to do a little bit later, because I guess we never actually talked about what we're going to do on the show today.
Yeah.
That's a good time to do that.
Yeah.
At least a quarter of the way through the show. We're going to mention another idea. I had this idea. I was like, it'd be cool if we just did who's the best, since we're all in jerseys. Who's the best player to wear every number in TCU Sports 1 through 99?
Mm-hmm.
I just sent you the idea. You're like, yeah, it sounds good. An hour later, you've given me a list of everyone to ever wear a jersey? I'm like, okay, I didn't know you had that ready.
But you're giving me too much credit. I had given you the first 10.
Well, you gave me the first 10, but you also gave me multiple options for each of the first 10.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, I've already got numbers like 12, 37, 42 picked out.
So. I'm through 32 on the list. I'm trying to go in order. So we'll do the first 10 today.
We're going to do 00 through 10 here in a little bit, here in a couple minutes, I guess, while I'm teasing that now. Some neat recent recruiting news, some new offers out there. Twitter questions. Oh, yeah, and then if we have time, we've got another bit of time.
Yeah.
Might as well talk a little bit of NFL draft with that starting.
Yes.
Not next Thursday, but the Thursday after. It's going to be real interesting and fun.
If we have to roll that over to next week, it won't be the worst
thing. We can. It's fine. Well, we might as well touch on it in a second.
Yeah.
So the modern uniforms.
Yes.
So these are the home ones is what we posted today.
Yeah, which we've talked a little bit about already.
I think the Peach Bowl will be up there with what was the one seed again? Oh, I think Peach Bowl is going to win that one.
Yeah, I agree with you. Peach, I feel like just from these first three, my prediction is for the final four, Rose Bowl, I feel like people are going to go away Flying T.
Yep.
And I think Peach Bowl, just because Peach Bowl is so beloved.
I think those would be the three. I think the second one, like the finalists in the modern region, I think will be the they're in a neck and neck battle right now. The Oreo 2019.
You think?
I like the.
They'll be Elite Eight. You think?
I like the white black white look a lot,
yeah.
And especially Rager's showing it off. But another thing is the Shaywo picture is a great picture.
Yeah.
Of him diving into the end zone.
Man, and that Oreo look. That's one when it was announced that we were going to wear it for that West Virginia game. I was like, ooh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to look, and I loved it in that game. And then I feel like it looks even better now with the incorporation of the Black Panther neck, you know, and the purple going.
Which I like the Black Panther. At the end of the day, I was questionable about it earlier in the year, but I kind of dig the Black Panther.
Oh, I love it. I love it as a concept, and I love the way it looks, too.
I think the one annoying thing, again, this is very much a I'm in the press box is annoying sometimes. The numbers are kind of hard to see in the press box.
Mm.
That's the one issue I have with it, but that's annoying for about
the silver numbers are very – I wish if I could make one change – to the new suite of uniforms, I would change the numbers from silver to white.
It's all white.
Yes. I'd make them white white numbers, maybe have the little frog pattern like we used to on the numbers, but I feel like the away uniforms are flawless for 2019.
I also think the Max was in is going to get a lot of run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good look.
Because that's purple, black, purple. That's the purple Oreo. Purple Oreo.
That's one of our very best color combinations in any era. And you know what? It's shocking to me, and this is another thing I think I tweeted, that we only wore that Peach Bowl look for one season.
Yeah.
It's crazy, because it really was such a clean look.
I agree. That is such a good look.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times did they wear it that year, that whole year?
Well, they wore it against Iowa State. They wore it against Samford, I remember, because the first game of the year when they came out, me and my friends were like, oh my God, what, white pants? Whoa, that's so weird. And then we were like, by the end of the game, we're like, oh, we really like it. So I know that it was at least those three games and probably, let me just think about it. So Kansas State was a blackout. Oklahoma was purple, black, purple. I think chrome helmet, purple, black, purple, if I remember correctly. So that leaves us with two more home games, right?
Yeah.
For those of you playing the home game. Home game.
The homies game?
Let's see. Who else would it have been at home that year? We played West Virginia on the road, Kansas on the road. We played Tech at home. I don't know what we wore against. Oh, that was Anthracite, I think. That was the 82-point game. We wore Anthracite in that one. And I'm sure this is just thrilling for everyone to listen to. I'm sure people
are enjoying
this. Yeah. I think we wore it four times. Three or four times.
These white jerseys are classy, actually. I like a lot of the white looks. Like, I'm looking that one, again, because of the moment, that one might play.
You're looking at West Virginia from 2014?
West Virginia 2014 might...
That was the first Stormtrooper look, the very first time.
Is that the first time they wore that?
Very first time.
Interesting. I like that. That's going to play well, I think. You've got this year's white as the number one seed.
That's my favorite.
You like,
man,
this look a lot.
That's one of my very favorite uniforms we've ever worn.
This is also such a minutia because these are all white uniforms.
Right.
You must have, again, you did this at 11:51 p.m. last week. You went through these, and I'm like, man, it took you no time at all, but you must be like, have these in your personal collection for some reason.
Well, I googled all the pictures, but I was thinking them through.
This one might go far.
The
Aaron Green
tortilla tip, yeah.
The Aaron Green one will probably go far. You have it as a 6 seed. Spoiler alert for next Monday, because
well, you can see the bracket now.
You can see the bracket, but like maybe people haven't put it together. I like this look against Iowa State this year.
Oh, the black helmet.
Yeah.
See, it looked better than I thought it would, but it's not one of my favorites.
Man, anything Bannigan, I'm probably gonna pick, but I like that look a lot. I like that better than whatever year that was.
Yeah, the thing it's really going to come down to, because we wear the all white so much, so it's going to come down to which helmet do you prefer? Do you like a stripe down the middle? Do you like the frog pattern? Yeah. Do you like chrome? You know, do you like shoulder black? Or
this picture of Vernon Scott, pick six against Oklahoma. That's a good look.
That's what I'm saying. I had look. One and two seed were the away uniforms we wore last year.
It's interesting that you have the away jerseys from 19 so high and the home jerseys from 19 very middle pack, though.
Yeah. Which is,
tell me why.
Well, this is where, because at the away uniforms, I was like, I feel like I just totally allowed myself to be like, okay, I'm going to pick my favorites, you know.
This whole thing was picking your favorites.
Like I said, I've already voted in the modern home. I've voted a lot of the underdogs because I'm like, I prefer this look. And you know, I put the Oreo 2019 higher. I wish in hindsight that I would have put the 8 and 9 seeds higher. Is one of the big things that I have. That's probably my biggest regret. But other than that, I was trying to balance my likes with. Not in life, probably, but.
Definitely. I wish I hadn't done this.
In the context
of this totally nonsensical content filler for Corona.
On my deathbed.
Yeah, I regret.
Tell everyone I'm sorry.
So, yes, this will be fun. So, this will continue. So, Monday we'll do the modern away regions, Wednesday we'll do the second round of the one-timers, yes. And then next Friday we'll do the second round of the throwbacks.
Yes.
And then we'll see how this goes from there. So expect it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Get to vote on some stuff because it's fun.
Yeah.
But in that
voting is very fun.
Voting is fun. Make sure you go out and vote this year.
Yes.
For whoever you vote. I don't care who you vote for. Just vote. Like, be as nonpartisan as possible. Just vote. Like.
That's a good message.
Just vote. Like my grandpa always said, if you don't vote, you can't complain.
That's true.
Which I think is very fair.
That's very true. Very fair. Yes.
You forfeit your right to complain if you don't go vote. So, what are we going
and
to
do? And vote in your local elections.
That's also key.
Very important.
That's very key, especially more now than ever. Let's see. All right, so best frogs to wear 0 through 10.
All right. Let's do it. So I guess we'll talk honorable mentions first for each number.
Yeah.
And then we'll just go ahead and big reveal who our chosen one is.
Yep. Chosen zero in this case.
Yes, chosen zero in this case. So not a lot of frogs have worn zero, believe it or not.
Yeah, not many. Totally shocking.
So I really only have one honorable mention. This might ruffle some feathers, but Jalen Fisher is my honorable mention number zero.
I don't think you can ruffle feathers when you say he's the second best to wear number zero of all time.
Well, but people may be upset, you know, that he left. And
when you say who double zero actually is, I think people will understand.
Yeah, so best double zero all time in TCU athletics, Kevin Crone, ladies and gentlemen.
I would argue with that.
The Masher himself.
Yes. So
felt like that was an easy one.
Is he back in the majors with the Diamondbacks? Was he up in? I mean, who knows? Now no one's in the majors.
one's in the majors.
but yes, Kevin Crone. I like number one.
Oh, speaking of no one's in the majors, okay. Did you see today that the XFL shut down?
That's what they get for not hiring
me. R.I.P. XFL.
Again, Suttle was like, "Hi, you should have hired me when you had the chance this year." Because I was, again, if you haven't heard the story, I was down to two finalists to cover the, I don't even remember the
Renegades.
The Renegades. Yeah,
My beloved Seattle Dragons.
No, not your
who
Dragons.
I've been a lifelong fan of.
They get through 3 weeks and they were done. Not because of money for 3 weeks, but Corona kicked in maybe four.
Yeah.
They played.
It's tough,
but they're done. They're done for this year. They won't be back next year.
Wind and tide throughout history has been against minor league football leagues.
Well, again, I think a lot of people have said the USFL would have taken off if they had. What was the one thing they didn't do?
It's been a while since I watched that documentary.
But
I know Donald Trump was involved.
Well, yeah. I think it was if Trump had bought the Cowboys, I think it's part of it. Because Trump was offered the Cowboys first for like, ended up being about what half of Jerry Jones paid for, if I remember correctly. It's still astronomically high numbers. But it was like $40 million.
But it's peanuts compared to what they're worth now.
Now he was offered it for like $40 million, but then now it's worth like $4 billion or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Jerry Jones bought it for like $30 million the next year or something, something like that.
Yeah,
and then it is what it is now.
Yeah,
but maybe if that had happened then, who knows what the USFL would be now?
Yeah,
but crazy to think all this has been happening for like these names are still the same 20, 30 years later.
Yeah, Yeah, that really is wild to think about.
Yeah.
I love, actually, the thing with Donald Trump that's so great is when you look back, you talk about his name being around for so long, whenever he gets mentioned in an old sitcom or something, yeah. and, you know, people speak so fondly of him, yeah, and yeah. I'm like, that's hilarious to me. Well,
like Simpsons, like, in 95, like, Home Alone 2, he's in it for a hot second.
Or, like, in Friends, there's an episode where they're like, oh, we saw Donald Trump in an elevator, and, yeah. like... My wife's been watching Hannah Montana reruns, and Donald Trump got brought up as someone's hero, like a character's hero, and I'm like,
what a world.
That would not be a mainstream opinion that now. Not, certainly not, be, not on television,
not
anyway.
On television, it would not
here
be
in
not,
middle America, but...
not yeah, definitely not in California, where yeah. I assume Hannah Montana was made.
Yeah.
let's see. Number one. Who's the number one, number one? We had, okay. We had a bit of a back and forth on this one.
Yes. Okay, so a few honorable mentions... worth mentioning. So Chris Hackett's an honorable mention. Yep. A guy who, if he would have stayed for a senior season, very well could have been one of the best safeties yep. all time at TCU. Tony Rand, who's another great defensive back. You may remember him from 1992. He had a pick six against Texas. One of two wins that season for that TCU team.
But if you don't remember that play, Google it
yeah.
and watch it on YouTube.
You can see it on YouTube.
They have put that play to heavy metal on YouTube right now, and it's hilarious.
Yes. Cody Jones, another great. Great, great number one. One guy that you're like would probably be an all-time leadoff hitter probably for the TCU baseball yeah. team. Now here's where it gets tricky. We ended up putting at honorable mention Jalen Reagor.
And again, this is all sports. You haven't caught on by now.
Yeah, all sports. And best number one all-time, Desmond Bane. So now let's discuss.
Well, he's got every basketball record.
Yes.
He's got pretty much all the basketball records. His 4 years here were... arguably the best 4 years in TCU's history.
Like, well, he's the winningest basketball
he's
player.
He's won the most games. He's played the most games. He got the most three-pointers, most assists. Every meaningful stat. He's, what, top five in points, I think?
Mm-hmm.
He might be third overall in points. Like, he's got every stat you could want. And Reagor, I think, I don't want to say peak, but his sophomore year was his best year.
Yeah.
Like, even freshman year was really good.
I mean, and regardless of... outside circumstances, his sophomore year was his best year.
Yeah. So it's like, well, he had one great year, one like all-time fantastic year.
Where he literally willed the team to a bowl game.
He carried the team to the Cheez Bowl. Like,
yeah.
And then this year, I was, again, it's not all his fault. The team itself was a disappointment this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Bane, it's just Bane. He's arguably the best basketball player of all time.
You can make arguments for both again, and I mean, you know, it may go on that I would not be the least bit surprised that Jalen Reagor has the better pro career of the two of them.
I think that's very fair to say. Yeah. Like, because again, I've been the most negative on Bane of anyone I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm, you have.
Well, but
for a really beloved player. Yeah.
But it's not like I hate him. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He just disappears for a half.
Yep.
And he does That's it true. A lot. And I'm like, how can you be this? But
he's a 4 year guy. You mentioned it. He's a 4 year guy in a era where that's not insanely common for a really talented guy to stay for 4 years. He's been the face of really TCU.
Of the school, yeah. Yeah. Definitely not. Like, it went from arguably Brandon Parrish to him.
Yeah.
Like, as far as face of the university, it might have been Dotson, might have been before him. Was the face before Parrish? Their
Probably.
Timelines cross a little, maybe not. But Parrish was in like all the commercials, like you see.
Yeah,
Parrish was like holding an iguana in like every commercial.
Yeah, like, or like helping a rhino.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, but I think it's Bane.
Desmond Bane. All right. So number two. You ready for number two?
Another tricky one.
Yes. So I put Reggie Hunt as an honorable mention. He was a safety on one of those Franchione teams. I think he was on the Sun Bowl team. He was a really good safety during TCU's resurgence. And then it comes down to two number twos.
They played in the same play in the same game. TCU in trouble.
Both wearing number two, actually. So we're talking about Jason Verrett and Trevon Boykin. And
did you say his last name?
Verrett.
Isn't it Verrett? Are we saying the same thing?
Jason Verrett. I think it... Maybe it is Verrett. I can't remember.
I've never heard it Verrett before.
I know the dude. I can't. Yeah, I probably just mispronounced his name.
He's just texting me.
Yeah, how do you pronounce your name, bro?
Yeah.
But I think we both fell on Trevon Boykin as being the greatest two of all time for multiple reasons.
Well, he was the quarterback. He had a bunch of school records. I think he still has some of them. And he was the quarterback for the best... 2 year run in school history in 70 years. Like they were reached and they were in the top five both years in 14 and 15. So,
and really, like I told you, I was going back and watching a lot of old game film recently. Yeah. And when you go back and watch some of those games from 2014 and 15, it's stunning when you take into account what we've been watching the last multiple years. Yeah. You're like, God, he was good at football.
Yeah, like, he was incredible.
He's so good. Incredible. Just insane. And, you know, Jason Verrett,
there you go.
easily the best corner in TCU history. So that's what was really stopping me up because, you know, as bad as that 2013 team was, that defense was stellar. Defense and Jason Verrett was a big reason why.
100%.
But yeah, it's got to be Trayvon because he should have been a Heisman finalist. Or he was a Heisman finalist but didn't get invited.
Well, he was finished fifth, and that was the one year they decided to bring only four people or whatever.
No, I think he finished fourth, and that was the only year they brought three.
I know it was something disrespectful like that.
So disrespectful. But yes. Yeah, current events aside, it's got to be Trayvon Boyd.
Right, this is purely playing days.
Yes.
Number three.
Number three. Again, a lot of guys to choose from, and this is one that when you narrow it down to the top two, I kind of had a hard time. But a few of our honorable mentions. Elliot Barzilli was a great number three for the baseball team. LaTerrence Dunbar, for those of you that remember the Liberty Bowl season in 2002, very solid player. Basil Mitchell, LT's predecessor and Sun Bowl champion. So now we come down to our top two, which I have TJ Johnson, free safety for the Rose Bowl team. One of the, if you ask Chris Gardner, the best free safety to ever play for TCU.
He might sort of say, outside of LT, probably the best player for TCU ever. Chris Gardner, I mean, he's not wrong. TJ loves TJ Johnson.
Yeah, he's a great, great player, great leader. And then the other one, who I ended up giving it to, Corey Santee.
Yeah, and again, this is some of the, and this is part of it is, after we get past, like, 15, it'll be pretty much all football players.
Yeah.
So you might as well give some love to basketball while you can.
Well, yeah, we got a lot of love to basketball so far.
Yeah, so far. But I mean, what, three or two of the top?
Two of four.
Two of four, roughly, have been basketball. But Santee had all the records that Bane just broke. Like, had most, not all of them, but he had the assist record that Bane broke. He's on the coaching staff now. I mean, Santee's a friend of the podcast. He's been on the show before. So
yes.
It's hard not to like Corey Santee.
Oh, yeah.
But TJ Johnson, again, they're both great.
And he was the driving force by, you know, one of very few great teams in the early 2000s, got to the NIT. So, yeah, felt natural to put him there at that number three spot. All right, on to number four. So, I did write down, hopefully, P.J. Fuller someday will be worth an honorable mention here. Johnny Reiser, we talked
Probably need a longer career to get up there, but yes.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, you know, we talked about in the moments bracket and him robbing Texas. I mean, that's a pretty iconic moment. One that I found, I was doing a lot of research of Dan Jenkins, things that he had written, and he wrote about Wallace Hogcollar Myers, who was number four. He was a guard for the basketball team from 1931 to 1934, so pre-football national champions. I'm going to read you what he wrote about him. Known for a loud, piercing yell directed at opponents, the Hogcollar was a Helms Foundation All-American and unanimous All-Southwest Conference selection in 33 and 34, team captain for a conference championship team. He was a great all-around player and a shutdown defender who was once the Southwest Conference's leading... he once held Southwest Conference leading scorer Jack Gray of Texas without a field goal. So, you know, this is a guy who was a big deal on the basketball team back in the day.
30s.
In the 30s, yes, in the 30s. Well, you know, we're going to have some guys from the 30s on this list.
Well, yeah, but in basketball.
Yeah.
Like, those guys in the 30s are going to mention later is, like, arguably the best football player of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ever. So.
Another honorable mention, Quincy Butler, if any of you remember from the early 2000s. He was a great cornerback for TCU. JUCO transfer, if I remember correctly. And who we ended up giving it to?
Casey Paja.
Yeah. A dude with so much raw talent.
Arguably
as a passer.
The most talented quarterback TCU's ever had.
Trayvon Boykin.
But I'm comparing, like, to come from Andy Dalton to him, like, you go, I'm thinking of, like, Aaron Rodgers to Drew Brees. I'm thinking, like, that he was probably more talented than Andy Dalton was.
You mean like from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers?
No. I mean, like, nowadays, like, if you look at the football right now, you're like, who's the greatest quarterback ever? Arguably Tom Brady. Who's the most talented quarterback ever? Arguably Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I see.
Like,
I
Dalton
see.
Is arguably the greatest quarterback in TCU. It's Dalton or Boykin.
Yeah.
Or Ball.
Yeah, it's,
but
well,
like,
yeah.
But, like, I think the game's changed so much the last 90 years. It's been literally 90 years.
Well, the dude literally revolutionized the forward pass.
It would still be the way it was like before, if it wasn't for Baugh.
Yeah.
But like, but the way Paha played was incredible. But yeah, Boykin was probably more talented. But
I mean,
his first
an incredible passer. Yeah. Incredible passer. I rewatched that Boise State game from 2011 recently, and just he threw some beautiful passes in that game. Long balls on the money. And you know, I hate to bring up that Baylor game from the 2011 season because we ended up losing, but he put on such a show in that game. When we, even those of us who were a part of the team, we really weren't sure what we had in Casey Paha, what he was going to look like in a game situation, because, you know, he obviously didn't have Andy's intangibles necessarily.
Yeah.
But dude freaking just lit it up right off the bat, and we're like, okay, this is a guy that we can ride with. Talent-wise, absolutely. Yep. And I think he's very much deserving of best number four of all time.
I agree. Who's number five?
I was thinking like Kian Anderson.
Kian Anderson for sure. There's some guy named Cy Leland.
Yeah, Cy Leland, who was a great halfback in the early 30s. But come on, it's LaDainian Tomlinson. It's LT. Needs no introduction.
We don't say anything else about it.
Yes.
Number six.
Now, this is a tough one.
There's a lot of names here.
A lot of great number sixes. And I'm going to, again, narrow it down to the top two, who I believe. So we got a lot of great baseball players. We got Andrew Cashner, wore number six. Kyle Bachok, wore number six. Bram Kohlhausen, wore number six. He definitely has a space in TCU lore. Brian Bonner was a tremendous safety for TCU, wore number six. Elisha Olabode, another really great safety for TCU, wore number six. Andre Davis, a running back in the late 90s for TCU, was really, really good, wore number six. Not LT good, certainly. Probably not even Kenneth Davis good. but it was still good. And so now we come down to our top two choices, and you could really go either way on this.
I think you made the right pick because of how the moment,
like
the big moment for the guy that we ended up picking here.
Okay, so then honorable mention goes to Darius Jett Anderson.
Yeah,
amazing running back for these past 4 years, and he has his own iconic moment against Ohio State.
Well, between that
and Texas,
that's the moment I think of first.
Juking Texas,
juking the 5-star safety.
Yes,
out of his socks. But number one is Bart Johnson because the Rose Bowl touchdown and being one of the leaders on that team and everything.
Dude, you talked
about. He also could play.
Yes, he could play. And you talk about really an unsung hero of that Rose Bowl game. Not only catching that touchdown, but he caught the onside's kick at the end of the game.
Yeah, because we watched that, and he pushed Curly out of the way to catch the ball. Just hilarious.
Dude was just a bulldog, hard worker. I mean, really. That lunch pail, chip on the shoulder mentality that you want out of a TCU player.
The white wide receiver you can think of.
No, literally though, I mean, actually.
Where's Ryan Christian on here?
Yeah. Ryan Christian, I think I gave him an honorable mention. I gave him honorable mention for 18. Okay. Sneak peek. Sneak peek. But yeah, Bart Johnson for number six. Number seven. You ready to talk seven?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of names again.
A lot of good sevens.
So,
and I think after 2021, one of these names is the new winner.
I think so. I think Trey Merrick after 2021 is going to be your best number seven. I think
he's
going to
be the best number seven of all time.
But we can't give him to him yet.
Can't give it to him yet.
Other honorable mentions we have Josh Watson. Obviously, he was a great bat for TCU out in left field. I feel like Kenny Hill deserves some recognition at number seven just for that 2017 season alone, captaining that team. Stanley Washington was a standout wide receiver in the late 70s, early 80s. He had an iconic moment. I want to say it was against Arkansas. I can't exactly remember who against, but his jersey got almost completely torn off while he was scoring a touchdown for TCU that ended up winning the game. I'd love to see if I could find that on YouTube, but my uncle used to talk about it all the time. And I found a picture of it, at least, of him running back to F.A. Dry with his arms in the air and his jersey like hanging off of him. Greg McCoy, another All-American cornerback, return man, definitely honorable mention number seven. Colby Lissenby definitely deserves honorable mention.
He deserves to be mentioned.
I thought very carefully, and I don't know if Colby listens to the show. I know he tweets at me all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought very carefully about giving him the best all-time number seven, but ultimately I gave it to Royce Huffman.
Okay. Explain yourself.
Yes. So he was a baseball player in the late 90s. He was one who was a really huge standout on those baseball teams in the late 90s. In fact, let me look up a little tidbit to read about him and explain myself. So, that's right. He was actually a two-sport star.
Yeah.
So Let's see. This is actually Dan Jenkins as well. He excelled at the hot corner on the diamond as an All-American in 99, not to mention as a freshman All-American in 96, but he also showed greatness as a punter and kick returner for the football team, especially in 97. So, again, we were terrible in 97. But
that's why I have a third base returning kicks.
Yeah, returning
kicks. I vaguely, at least I don't remember watching any of that, but I remember hearing the name. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good choice.
Well, and I think he's related to Chad Huffman, too, who is a guy more from our era.
Yes.
But yes, Royce Huffman, I feel like just being a two-sport star and an All-American.
All-American. I think puts you a little bit ahead of Colby. But again, Colby, track.
Yeah, and that's what I thought about.
Because it's also a two-sport guy.
But he wasn't an All-American in track. And also, I'm not including track athletes in this. He didn't wear number 7 in track.
There wasn't a jersey. Yes. I guess there might be a number, but
yeah.
Fair, I guess. But shout out to Colby for being a two-sport
athlete. Colby, if you were listening, you are very close. I had a very hard time. I agonized over this.
And we do consider track a sport.
Yes, it is a sport. I love the Olympics, man. That's my favorite thing to watch in the Olympics.
See you next year.
Yeah. 2020 Hopefully. And 2021 Olympics.
Number eight.
So this is another one that was just total puzzler, right? Yeah, we had no idea who to put in.
not a clue. Did you know one of these guys went to TCU, then went to go play at A&M?
Oh, yeah, one of our honorable mention guys.
Yeah, one of the honorable mentions?
Yeah, he used to go to TCU.
He used to go to TCU.
He didn't graduate from TCU. No, he didn't. He wore his class ring while he played.
Time. Did you know this? Did you know this about Boomer White, guys? Did you guys know this about Boomer
Did
White?
Did anyone pick up on that? Boomer White's honorable
Austin
mention.
Austin Wade, Kyle Winkler, a whole bunch of baseball guys there.
Yeah, Jimmy Lawrence was a defensive back from the early leather hat years, but Davey O'Brien, of course, is your number eight. Only Heisman winner in TCU history. Legendary for his small stature, but his big heart, yeah. Right? one of those great Dutch Meyer quarterbacks. Number nine, another one. Like, what the heck do we do with this number?
Yeah,
right?
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no way. How is it not Josh Doctson?
It's Josh Doctson, the best receiver in TCU history.
But I tell you what, Skaug is interesting.
Skaug is close, yeah.
Skaug is close.
He's my only non-football honorable mention on this list because he was a huge part of a team that very easily could have and probably should have won the national championship in baseball. But others, Nick Brown was an All-American kicker. Matt Boson, obviously, great defensive end, holds the single-game record for sacks at TCU. And Alex Ebollier, another Rose Bowl guy, safety. But Josh Doctson, you got to give it to Josh Doctson.
Yeah, I agree. He's the best receiver of all time. It's hard to argue with that.
The GOAT.
Yeah. Number 10. This is, I thought it would be more interesting, but it's really not.
Yeah, yeah. That's one that as I was thinking of the honorable mentions, I'm like, am I forgetting anyone? But some of our honorable mentions, Hank Thorns, I feel like was a pretty good number 10 at guard. You have Steve Stamp, who was a really good quarterback on some really bad teams for TCU in the late 70s. Shout out Steve Stamp. I've actually met him before because Ashley Stamp, his daughter, was a manager actually for a few years. So I was like really fanboying, and he was like, this doesn't happen to me very often. Rafael Priest, another really, really great number 10.
I like
Priest a lot. 4-year starter and one of those classic Coach B cornerbacks. But I gave it to Vlad Brodzianski.
It's Vlad.
Yeah.
It's Vlad. Again, one of the corner pieces of the best era in TCU basketball.
Yeah. NIT champion. NIT champion. National champion, as Texas would say.
Yeah. Stupid. But yeah, Vlad the impaler, but it's not. He didn't impale anybody.
That's, by the way, got to be the most Aggie thing that Texas has ever done, by the way. Call themselves NIT national champions.
Well, when it's like calling the ATM machine. Because it's the National Invitational Tournament champions. It's national there twice.
It's also claimed as
a national champion.
I got you. I got you.
I'm going to the automatic ATM machine. What do you want to do? I go to Austin after that. Yeah, I think it's a really fair list. So, again, 0 through 10, Kevin Crone, Desmond Bain, Trevon Boykin, Corey Santee, Casey Paja, LT, Bart Johnson, Royce Huffman, for now, until Trevon Merrick finishes his career, Davey O'Brien, Josh Johnson, Vlad Brodzianski.
I feel like that's a pretty good...
I think it's solid.
Some good company right there.
I think those are the best athletes that UT would have over the last... most of them would be on UT's list.
Yeah, I feel like.
I don't know. I just feel like you're taking another shot at UT.
UT wishes they had as much success as us in the last...
Have you seen the bit going around? Years. It's like, you think the quarantine's bad. It's been 1,347 days since UT won the Big 12 or something like that. Like, you think the 17 days of quarantine's bad.
Hey, they're back, though.
Yeah, they've been back for several years now. But everyone watched the national championship game again last week of them playing USC. That probably is the best college football game of all time.
It is a great game. It's
the best college football game of all time, I would
think. I was horribly depressed when it happened in real time because I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I went to school with almost exclusively Texas fans. Yeah. And it was just, I was like, no, I don't want to have any part of this.
Oh, man. Well, I thought it was a good game, but I don't know. Well, most of my friends, I guess, were Texas fans, and also a bunch of Cowboys fans. Ugh, I've got some weird friends. I need to get some better friends. This isolated a lot of this podcast. All right, let's go into recruiting a little bit.
Yeah.
These are new offers today as of this afternoon. Actually, one of them was from a couple days ago. Ty Williams, 2021 safety out of Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 6'1",
he's proud to be an Okie from Muskogee.
He is. He's also proud of his ball hawk skills. He's very much a very good safety with a penchant for getting turnovers and stuff like that. Kind of like we thought.
A penchant for buggery.
Penchant for buggery. I like that. Reminds me a lot of Nico Small in high school. Because Nico, like, he's bigger than Nico Small.
Nico the Freako.
But Nico, like, his high school tape is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, of all the turnovers he was forcing and a part of is crazy. He's got Ty Williams' offers already from OK State, Nebraska, Tennessee, Texas Tech, Kansas, Cal, and Iowa State among his 20 offers. So keep an eye out for that one. He likes the TCU defense. He's ball hawk. I mean, I think it's one definitely to keep an eye on.
How could you not like the TCU defense?
How can you not? But he's from Oklahoma, so getting those guys at Oklahoma, I think TCU's doing a lot more lately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a tall task.
Yeah.
This next one, Will Schweitzer. I haven't heard from him yet.
Schweitzer.
He's a 2021 defensive end / linebacker out of Los Gatos, California.
Schweitzer could play with Alex Honig, don't you think?
That'd be awesome, actually. That'd be fun. So the big German from the Cats in California, 6'4", 210, Arkansas, Cal, Utah, Washington State, Syracuse, Michigan State, Boise State, and my favorite offer among his list outside of TCU, Harvard. I like a kid that's got an Ivy League school offer.
Yeah.
Those are kids you usually don't have to worry about too much.
Yeah, usually.
But how many of them turn into be superstars? That's a different question. But how many of them are like good kids? Most of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, again, I think it's TCU doesn't recruit much out of California. I think maybe a little bit.
A little bit. Alex Onyemobi recently was a California guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason Verrett was a California guy.
Who was the Tua Hua?
Yeah.
The GPO was called 2A for whatever reason. I just threw an N back there. He always called him 2A, and I still don't know why. But that's one to, I guess, keep an eye on from afar. Have not heard from him yet about his skills, what he likes about TCU. And then 2022 defensive end, François Nolton.
Keep him away from Schweitzer.
I think this guy's going to end up going to Miami because he's from Miami. He's 6'5", 220. Already has a Miami offer. Kentucky, Arizona State, Syracuse. I think he's probably going to go to Miami. But he's already a four-star by 247, even though he's a 2022 kid. But he does, I talked to him a little bit already, he does like TCU's tradition of excellent defenses and Gary Patterson being there for 20 years.
Nice.
Selling points for him. So,
I think we should have a segment each week where we just make fun of recruits' names.
Well, let's wait for ones that go to different schools. we can make fun of Tate Martell all he wants.
It's like we get a contact from the coaching staff like, you need to stop. We are losing recruits.
Don't make fun of Francois. But I think we can make fun of Tate Martell. The rest of the world is.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the Justin Fields thing yesterday?
I didn't.
So this is a Twitter beef from a long time ago that, like, I think because obviously they were both going to Ohio State. Well, Justin Fields originally went to Georgia,
right,
and then went to Ohio State, and on a recruiting visit, apparently sitting next to Urban Meyer, like, followed Tate Martell's sister on Instagram or whatever, like, shot his shot or whatever. And Tate was like, if you shoot for the king, you best not miss, or something like that, one of those phrases. And of course, Tate Martell transfers to Miami, where he's now like a third receiver instead of playing quarterback. And then Fields, like, is taking a golf shot yesterday, and he's like, hits it. I got some work to do, but at least I didn't miss, or something like that. So subtle shade going back and forth. But I've hated Tate Martell for a long time.
Doesn't everyone?
Yeah, but like
Tathaniel.
Go back to me and Jeff Craig on the podcast years ago talking about how much I can't stand Tate Martell.
Yeah,
that's how long my contentment for that kid has lasted, and it's worked out for me. I've been okay with that.
I started watching. This was maybe a year or two ago, I started watching that QB1 docuseries on Netflix.
I pretty much refused to watch because Tate Martell.
Dude, yeah, I couldn't finish it because I was like, this kid is irritating the living crap out of me. Like,
I got a friend who doesn't watch much college football who was like, started watching that. He goes, dude, what's up with this kid now? What's up with this kid? I was like, well, here's a long story for you.
Worked out pretty good for the Georgia kid. What's his name?
Fromm?
Yeah, Jake Fromm. Or Eason.
Which one was in it? Fromm was
it. It was Fromm, yeah.
Fromm worked out well. He'll probably be a second-round pick. Speaking of guys who could be second-round picks, could be first-round picks.
Yeah.
Let's go into TCU guys. So we're still 2 weeks away from the draft. But we're like, we're not. We've got nothing else to talk about. I'm very excited for this year's draft.
Yes. I'm always excited for the draft. Weird. But this one's going to be, we're going to get weird with it. It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be how many teams get hacked into? Oh my God. Well, something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
For one of these teams. It's just going to. We'll see a Laramie Tunsil incident or three.
It'll be a team like the Raiders where everyone just won't bat an eye. 100%. And they're like, no!
Somebody's big board will get shown. We're thinking about this kid or this kid or this kid. Or something's going to be written negative about some kid.
Yeah.
And they're going to see it and it's going to come out.
Yeah.
Or we might see a dog come into the war room and break everything. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, a cat walks over the Jets keyboard. Yes.
And they end up drafting Darius Anderson third overall. Yeah. All right, here, let's go. But where do you
see? The Jets drafted Colin Kaepernick. Can they even do that?
Man, have you seen the people getting roasted by these fake tweets?
Yes.
Fake tweeters?
Yes, I have.
Oof, man. Be smarter, people. Be smarter. But where do you think Rager goes?
Where do I think he goes? Yeah. I mean, there was something on Twitter today about Jerry Jones really liking him, apparently.
Jerry Jones does like him, and the TCU football tweeted out the exchange, their Zoom meeting, Jalen Rager meeting with Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy via Zoom or whatever that is.
Let me tell you what, man. The Cowboys, they need a receiver. They need a third receiver, but they need to spend pretty much this entire draft on defense. That's the exclusive need. But I will tell you this much. If they pick Jalen Rager, in the second round, I will be first in line to buy a jersey for that dude.
What if they take him in the first round?
Because I feel like that's just a little bit high. And also, because they have the 17th pick.
I know. It's
17th overall?
What if they trade back
with this receiver class?
Yeah, no, I agree. I wouldn't take any receiver in the first round.
Because in fact, Billy, I mean, we were mock drafting before we started recording, and Jerry Jeudy was still on the board when the Cowboys were picking.
Yep.
And I had nearly an existential crisis trying to figure out if the Cowboys should take Jerry Jeudy or one of the many defenders on the board.
Henderson. Or
Jeff Gladney. Jeff
Gladney, who you didn't take. You ended up taking Henderson from Florida.
And then
two picks later, someone took
Gladney. And I immediately regretted it.
2 picks later, Gladney went to the Raiders. There's a lot of hype around Gladney and Blacklock going in the first.
I would love to see the Cowboys take Gladney in the first round.
Especially to the Raiders.
I would love to see the Cowboys take Gladney in the first round. I'd love it.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Because they need a corner. And they need, like I said, they need every position on defense.
Gladney in the first round, Rager in the second.
Dude, I would be so here for that. Would you root for the Cowboys if they had two TCU players?
They'd become my second team.
There you go. I'll accept that. I wouldn't expect you to take them on as your first team.
No, because born in Louisiana, diehard Saints fan here. But no, I would root for them to do well.
Yeah.
I was rooting for them last year because I thought I'd like their odds of winning the Super Bowl last year at 25-1.
Mm.
I'll put some shekels. Put some jelly beans on it.
I liked the odds too.
Yeah, so
that worked out.
Yeah, that didn't work out well for anybody. Rager, I think it'll be an early second.
Yeah,
and I think
this receiver class is just too deep.
It's too loaded. That's why I said this a while ago. He should come back for one more year, improve his stock, and let these other four or five guys that'll go ahead of him go ahead and go, and then be the number one guy next year and go in the top 15.
That's the thing, man.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, because at face value, when you're looking at the decision to, oh, man, he's so talented, he's a draft prospect, yeah, man, go make your money. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you're one of, 20 amazing receivers in this class. I mean, 20 is an overstatement, but there's a lot.
There's a lot of good – there's at least 10, future NFL starters.
We had all said, okay, well, he's going to salvage his draft stock at the combine. That's where he's going to prove he should be one of the first couple off the board. Yeah. And obviously that didn't quite work out.
And again, I don't think it's his fault.
I think
making the thing at prime time and having guys do drills for 8 straight hours is stupid.
Oh, it's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. But still, you're not – we talk about playing the odds. You're not playing the odds very well when you're coming out with this much competition.
No, I agree. So I think he goes probably early second, probably in the top 10 of the second round, maybe top 15 in the second round.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of mocks where he goes 40, between 40 and 45.
Mm-hmm.
And the same for Blacklock and Gladney. But I've also seen them go in the first round to they, like you said, the Raiders for some reason always see them, have them mocked. The Niners have seen them getting Gladney in several mock drafts at 31. So that wouldn't shock me at all. Blacklock, I've seen him go what, like 28 or whatever, to the Seahawks, wherever they pick. So I've seen him to the Seahawks and Raiders a whole bunch. So
saw him to the Texans in one of these that we ran.
So well, they'll just trade him for a bag of footballs or something after that. My goodness, I'm not going to apologize to Texans fans because the Astros cheated and shouldn't have a World Series title.
Mm-hmm.
But you're getting what you sow.
Yeah,
you're reaping what you sow.
You made your bed, now lie in it,
sleep in it. So Reagor, I think, goes early second, probably to, like, I've seen a lot of them saying to the Jets and their first pick in the second round.
Poor Reagor.
Yeah, poor Reagor. Well, everyone loves Sam Darnold for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I've never have, but a lot of people like him for whatever reason.
What was that graphic that was like, Sam Darnold out with mono or something, and he's like pointing at the camera.
But like, I did, if you watch him play USC, he fumbled every other play.
Yes.
Like, how is he the number one quarterback in that class?
Homeboy's seeing ghosts.
Like, I was wrong because I liked Rosen a lot, but I also think Rosen's gotten two really raw deals.
Yeah.
He got drafted top 10 but a team that didn't have an offensive line, then traded to a team that's purposely trying to lose. Like, yeah. I don't know what do you expect him to do. He's a guy that winds up on the Patriots somehow and becomes the next Tom Brady.
Oh, God.
But I loved Lamar. I thought it would be Rosen, Lamar as 1-2 in the class.
Yeah.
Turns out Lamar's won by a lot.
Yeah.
But at least I didn't like Darnold or Breaker that much. Let's see. Niang is someone I haven't heard a whole lot about.
Yeah. It's been really quiet around Niang.
I think he'll probably end up being a mid-round pick. If he had never gotten hurt or maybe played
the whole year, he's going to be a steal for someone in mid-round.
He will be. Because TCU just makes tackles, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy how good the tackles are that TCU produces.
So. Tackling fuel.
Well, he's not tackling. He's just preventing people from tackling. He's a tackle stopper. And then this mock draft thing that we did, I finished with the Saints all the way through seven rounds. And I saw Shabo and Darius both go in, like, round 6 and 7.
Mm.
So I think we end up seeing probably six guys drafted. It's fewer than the 10 that I said would happen.
But not bad.
A long time ago. But six is a solid year.
Yeah.
How do we have more players drafted than games won?
Yeah. That's what I was fixing to say, except for less cutting. Yeah. That it's a really awesome accomplishment for a team that won five games.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. It's like UNC. Yeah. UNC always does this.
Yeah.
UNC always has like four guys drafted and then they I don't know how or why or when.
Hey, Mac Brown, he's trying to get something cut.
They're ranked like third in rivals for 2021 class right now. It's still incredibly early, but they're doing well to start.
Yeah, we have like three commits. Yeah. They're like ranked third.
We have two now. Two quarterbacks. That's what TC has right now. Devin Lemire.
Speaking of UNC, are you going to watch that Michael Jordan 10-part documentary?
Yeah. There's nothing else to watch.
Yeah,
but yes.
Yeah, we've watched Tiger King.
Yeah, right. But we'll cast every Big 12 team as people that Jordan dunked on.
I like it.
But like, so you might have been a bigger basketball fan in the 90s. I was not a big basketball fan in the 90s.
I was a big Space Jam fan.
Fair. Most people were, I think. But I was a huge baseball guy. Like, I could name every starting shortstop for every team in Major League Baseball in the 90s. That's something I watched. Baseball was my jam. Football a little bit, but the Saints sucked in the 90s, except for the Ditka year. But so even though they were terrible, they just traded everyone for Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to go back and relearn how good Jordan was. I know I'm going to get a lot of heat for that. But I'm like, I watched LeBron. I go, dude, this guy's the best player I've ever seen in my entire life. He's like, you don't appreciate Jordan. I was like, well, I don't appreciate Jordan because I didn't pay attention as much then.
Right.
So I'm excited to watch this and have an open mind about who's actually better, Jordan or LeBron. But
yeah, I didn't really start falling in love with sports until around like 97, 98.
Yeah.
In fact, the first Super Bowl I remember watching is the 99 Super Bowl that the Rams won.
Mm.
And I was always like a Cowboys fan, but there was a period there in the late 90s, early 2000s where I was like, oh, I really like the Rams too. Yeah. Like, and then once LT went to the Chargers, I was like, oh, it's Cowboys and Chargers, Cowboys and Chargers. You know?
Well, the first Super Bowl, now which one was first? Was it the Niners blowout of the Chargers, or was the Cowboys blowout of the Steelers in the mid-90s?
That was 95, was the Steelers-Cowboys. So the 49ers was in 94.
Okay, so that was my first Super Bowl I remember watching.
Okay.
So that was the first one I remember watching was that one. And then I remember much more vividly watching the Cowboys one with the TCU great who had two picks in that game.
Larry Brown. That was in 95,
yes,
yeah.
That I remember, and I met Larry Brown a few years ago now. But got a picture with him on Instagram, whatever. No,
that's awesome.
He was at one of the rivals camps. Like, you went to TCU. Oh, yeah, and you're Super Bowl MVP. What's up? Yeah, so I got a picture with him, so that was fun. So those are my earlier memories. So I'm excited to go back and watch the Jordan thing and really learn to appreciate him a little bit more, because I'm more of a LeBron guy. People like ridicule me. I'm like, I don't think it's ridicule worthy.
Yeah,
but see, until he wins like a 52 game season title this year after winning just 3 games in the playoffs, and be like, that title doesn't count. People get all pissed at LeBron again.
Yeah, I mean, I've always fallen on the Jordan side of the conversation, which is funny because I, you know, like you're saying, don't have as many like live memories of watching Jordan.
But the thing is,
but when you go back and watch, you're just like, this dude could just straight take over a game.
But here's the thing, though: the Bulls still went to the Western Conference Finals the 2 years he didn't play. When LeBron didn't play, they went to the number one pick in the draft. That's how bad those Cavaliers teams were that he took to the finals.
Yeah,
like I'm just saying, like I think that says something about him.
Oh, for sure. Here's the thing: people act like when you get into the LeBron Jordan conversation, that if you say like Jordan is better, I prefer Jordan, that you're like, oh, like so LeBron is just like garbage. Like no, LeBron is an amazing athlete. Like he's incredible.
And now arguably LeBron's basically just a point guard now. Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's. You could have them on the same team.
Oh, and I actually, when was this? Maybe last weekend, the 1982 NCAA championship that Jordan's 82 North Carolina team was in. I watched that game. It was Jordan's North Carolina team. Jordan was a freshman versus Patrick Ewing's Georgetown team. Yeah. That was a fun game, man.
Did you see ESPN had the vote for the best college basketball player of all time last week or two? Like, and Jordan won. Jordan was voted the best college basketball player of all time. He's not.
No.
I
love Michael Jordan, but no.
There is an easy answer who the best college basketball player of all time is.
I feel like it's a trick question.
Well, it's not a trick. It's Lou Alcindor
/Kareem Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Who lost 2 games in 4 years.
Yes.
Won 3 national titles. The reason he didn't win 4 is because the freshman couldn't play on varsity back then.
Yes.
And the freshman team beat the varsity team that won the national title in scrimmages.
Dude, yeah, those UCLA teams, those John Wooden teams.
Yeah.
What?
So it's Kareem. It's no question it's Kareem, but it is what it is. All right, you want to get to Twitter questions?
Let's do it.
There's not many of them. Thanks, B-Banks, for having the B-Banks 2121 Twitter question segment. Who is the most famous person y'all could get on a Zoom call?
Like someone that we know personally that's like
Yeah, probably.
Well, I could get Glenn Morshower. He was my acting coach in L.A. He was in like Transformers, Friday Night Lights. He was in 24.
But I've never heard that guy's name before.
Yeah, he's one of those character actors that like if you saw his face, you'd recognize it, but you don't know his name. Josh Doxson's in my phone. Could maybe get him on a Zoom call.
Fair.
Those are the two off the top of my head that are like in my phone.
Let's see. Do I still have his number? Let me see. Now, is it the same number? Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
But I do have this guy's cell phone number.
Johnny Manziel?
I have Johnny Manziel's cell phone number.
Oh, my God.
That'd be wild.
Can we get Johnny Manziel on the podcast?
I'll give him a call. See what happens.
What's he going to talk about with
that? I don't know. I have no idea. I also have this guy's phone number on here.
Jamal Adams for the Jets?
Adams. Yep.
I guess you have
accrued
a lot of recruits. Yeah.
And a lot of this was done over the phone and via text where Twitter took over the last like three or four years.
Yeah.
But yes, these are guys I've talked to on the phone before. So it's wild having some big names in my phone like that before. I never talked to him, but I found his number in the database that Rivals used to have. We don't have it anymore. But Tebow's number was in the database. So I took that. I never used it. I just want to have Tebow's number at some point.
I guarantee you
it's not his number anymore. I guarantee that was his high school number 15 years ago at this point, but
I loved Tim Tebow. I hated him in college. I don't know why,
but I don't know why either.
I
loved him in college.
Well, because I got what it was I got really disillusioned by it. Was kind of the how ESPN people like talk about like, oh, ESPN just like works LeBron into every story, you know? Like it felt like he was so overcovered, and I was like, oh, just shut up about him. But like in hindsight, I'm like, why didn't I like? He's amazing. Like, I love Tim Tebow.
He's like everything you stand for.
I know. I love everything about him now. Like, and especially just that, like, even as a pro player, that like you're objectively not that good, but you're still finding a way like to win these games. Yeah, Tebow's great.
Let's see. Back to B-Bank. So I don't know if I get those guys on the phone. I could probably eventually get GP. It would take a little bit of wrangling, but I could probably get GP on there.
I'm picturing you wrestling Coach B.
Don't think too long about that. What's your favorite uniform from each pro sports league?
Okay, this is tough.
We talked about this before to try and get some ideas.
Yes. So we mentioned Cowboys. Cowboys are a great look, although they have their problems.
Cowboys thing is great. I like the Steelers look. Something about the one decal on each side I like a lot.
I really love the Chargers uniforms. Powder blues are probably the favorite, but ever since they've switched to the white helmet, I've loved the Chargers uniforms. I think the new Bills white helmets are really good. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, all across the NFL, with very few exceptions, you've got some really great uniforms across the board, I think. I think Cardinals have a great uniform.
I think the new Falcons one are trash.
They're really bad. Yeah, I hate the gradient.
Yeah.
The Bucks are infinitely better because they just went back to their old Super Bowl look. But we were talking about this before the podcast. I am just living for the day that they put on those creamsicles again. I'm a big fan of the creamsicles.
That's probably, I mean, that's their best uniform. Their best uniform. So they did a good job. I like the Packers. You don't like the Packers?
It's just, you know, it's Baylor trauma. I just don't like green and gold.
I like the Ravens.
But that is a good uniform.
I like the Ravens.
Ravens have good uniforms.
I even like the old one with like the crest with wings on it.
Yeah.
I have a Vinny Testaverde jersey with that on it.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I love the Bengals uniforms, Vikings? Too. Vikings, I like.
I have a Randy Moss jersey. I think I might also have a Culpepper jersey. I had a lot of jerseys from the 90s.
It'd probably be easier to say the uniforms we don't like in the NFL.
Falcons, Jaguars.
Yeah. Most of the NFC South.
The Saints are solid.
Saints are good.
I like the all whites. When they go all white.
Yes.
Their color rush jersey.
Yes. Okay. 49ers have great uniforms. Raiders have great uniforms.
How do you like the Rams changing their uniforms? They're changing the logo after building a stadium that is the shape of their old logo.
I know, man.
That's so stupid.
So dumb.
I don't get it. It's a very Trumpian looking logo. With a big poofy comb over.
Trumpian.
Have you looked at it?
Yeah.
A big comb over?
The thing that I've seen is people talking about it looks like the Ram has genitalia on his face. You can take another look at it.
I don't want to. Some would also say Trumpian. But I think, let's see. That's enough NFL. Hockey, I like the Blackhawks. I like the Red Wings.
Yes.
I like the Stars logo from like 10, 15 years ago with a big green star on the front of it. The Turco era.
Oh, yeah. I liked their uniforms before this last redesign. I've overall liked this shift to this kind of more lighter green. It's not really a Kelly green, but it's kind of a somewhere in between. You know, like, I kind of like the ones with a big D on it.
Yeah.
I thought those were pretty cool.
Like the Rams logo?
I was like, what? You lost me there for a second.
That's a deep reference right there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Penguins?
Yeah, Penguins classic, are good. Classic. Penguins are classic. Baseball. I'm a big fan of the Rangers uniforms before this redesign, but I also like the redesigned uniforms.
I like
as well.
The blue ones they're going to wear on Sundays if we ever have Sundays again.
Yeah. yeah.
I like.
As much as I hate the Yankees, it's tough to go wrong with the pinstripes. Yeah.
I think an underrated one is the Phillies cream jersey.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's a really underrated look.
Now, my only beef with like the Phillies and the Giants is it looks like their jerseys are dirty. It looks like they forgot to wash them.
Yeah, which I'm here for that. It shows that you've worked hard. Did you hear the story of Ricky Henderson?
Uh-uh.
When Ricky Henderson would play a game and he didn't slide, when he was a kid, this is like when he was a kid,
uh-huh.
He would slide somewhere in the dirt before he got home so his mom knew he played. Like, which it was rare for him to ever play a game. He didn't slide it, I'm sure.
Love it.
But like, he would purposely get his jersey dirty. So that was fun. Speaking of dirty, I like the Padres brown.
That's
I like
a take.
The Padres brown coming back. It's coming back. Fernando Tatis is going to be fun. They're going to be good, hopefully, this year.
That is going to be a fun team.
What do we not talk about? Basketball.
Lakers. Hate the new Mavs uniforms.
I hate the new Mavs jerseys.
They're terrible, so terrible. Terrible. As I wear my retro Mavs hat.
Yeah, but the retro one's fine.
And you wear a Mavs shirt.
Yeah, I am wearing a Mavs shirt. But this is... So we're wearing the first generation, the second generation.
Yeah.
And the third generation's terrible.
These Gen Z garbage
Mavs. Graffiti, terrible nonsense.
The Bulls.
Bulls
great
classic.
Look.
Bulls classic.
Celtics.
Classic. Celtics classic. Old school Raptors. Old school
Yes, the dribbling
Grizzlies.
Dinosaurs.
Those are great.
Anything that you could play on NBA Jam.
100%. The Pistons with the horse that was on fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
the
was
Timberwolves
a good
with like the actual Timberwolf.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So cheesy, but so great.
But those are great. Yeah. Those, again, we were kids in the 90s. Now they're older, they might look terrible. But yeah. Those are the best jerseys when we were kids. Those are made for a younger audience.
Yep.
Just like this podcast. What is your favorite book of all time? I actually didn't read this one earlier. I somehow glossed over the books.
Oh. I got to go Bible, man. I mean, yeah, I know that that feels like a cop-out.
That is 100% a cop-out.
It's a dang good book. It's a really good book. But I love Lord of the Rings, too. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan.
Mine's always been To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's a good book, too.
That's my favorite book of all time. My mom's proudest moment. My mom is a librarian. I had to read To Kill a Mockingbird for school, and it was like the one book I was like, ooh, man, I love this book. Mm-hmm. And I came home and told my mom, hey, mom, you need to read this book. It's so good. She's a librarian. She freaked out that her child was recommending a book to her. That was her proudest moment of me.
I bet.
And that's a great book. So,
love Chronicles of Narnia. Those are good books.
Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
Okay. Lonely Island. And then last question for me. Is Billy watching Trolls World Tour this weekend to support Anna Kendrick Wessels? Yeah, I'm assuming I can watch it on the internet now because the theaters are closed.
Probably.
I didn't get invited. They canceled the premiere because me and Anna Kendrick Wessels were going to go to the premiere.
Yeah. Do you have your outfit picked out?
Yeah, I was going to wear like a giant wig to look like a troll doll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because
it's very on theme
to make me stand out more.
Yes.
Because I'm a giant. Yes. Yes.
He's it added cool. Approximately 2 feet to your already giant frame.
Approximately. Yeah, this is fun. We're like, man, what are we going to talk about? We fill an hour 10 easy, like we do almost every week.
Easy.
Clint, promote something.
Please follow me on Twitter at Clint_Foster55. Also, you can give me a follow on Instagram at TheClintFoster. I've also been putting on my Instagram story the voting, just like we've been doing on Twitter.
You've been blowing up on the gram lately.
So yeah,
good,
I have.
Good, good. At Billy Wells is at TC_Rivals, at Scoop_It, PurpleMinutes.com. Check them out all the places.
Do it.
Talk to you guys next week.